One of the coolest things about covering state and local government technology is seeing the work that chief information officers or other technology leaders in government actually directly touch the lives of citizens. And while there are many touch points between CIO and citizen, there are none more apparent or more direct than efforts to take government digital. Priorities back for its third season here on State Scoop. On this show, we dive deep into the top 10 items that state CIOs care most about, according to our friends at NASIO, and talk with dozens of government leaders about why. This season is no different. Over the next few weeks and months, we'll again go through the list of the most pressing topics on the minds of government tech leaders this year and talk about how it will impact the years to come. But for today, we're going to tackle digital government. It's new on the list this year, but is far from new to state government effort. Part of this rise to prominence, though, has been a concentrated effort on the part of state governments to change the way that citizens interact with their government online through a bunch of different devices and ways. Our two guests today are at the forefront of that movement. Nikhil Deshpande is Georgia's chief digital officer. Nikhil has been working with the Georgia Gov Digital Services team, which is housed within the state's IT department, the Georgia Technology Authority, for the last several years to change the way citizens interact with and speak with their governments. Nikhil, thanks for being on the show today.
Glad to be here.
We've also got Holly St. Clair, the chief digital officer for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, with us today. Holly has spent the last 2 years with the state and has led the core team focused on digital services in the nearly year-old Executive Office of Technology Services and Security. Holly, thanks for being here on Priority.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Holly and Nikhil, let's jump in here on digital government. And Holly, we'll go to you first. Tell me about the digital government efforts that you have underway in your respective states. How have they grown and changed over the last few years?
You know, I think one of the challenges is here at the state or at the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, we did not have a web presence or digital services that kept up with our constituents' expectations, let alone Massachusetts' reputation as a leader in technology and data science. And so we were tasked with, or challenged with rather, by Governor Baker to redo the state's website in 1 year or less and to make it more constituent-focused and service-centered. Which sounds pretty straightforward, but often can be quite challenging, and to be done in a year is almost insurmountable. But we were able to do that. And one of the reasons I think this is particularly important is because we found that 76% of our constituents engage with us through our website as the first sort of touch. It really is our digital front door to the Commonwealth. And so we focused on redoing the mass.gov platform, modernizing it to a Drupal open source format, making it constituent focused instead of agency focused, as well as then understanding the services that we offer as a Commonwealth, both digitally on the web as well as then in person, or just information as a service, and then really watching how our constituents move through that ecosystem using data and analytics. And I think that's been one of the real interesting challenges over the past year, is not only just to start to deliver those services on the web, but then also figuring out how to track a user journey as they go from social media onto our website and then into, in most cases, a legacy transactional application. And over the next year, and I think the way that our work will continue to change, we're going to start tackling our top 20 most popular services, such as renewing your driver's license or getting unemployment or starting a business, and really looking at what that constituent journey is like and how to improve that across the various platforms and possibly in person as well, really partnering closely with our business partners and the other secretaries and agencies who deliver those services.
Nikhil, what about in Georgia? Fill us in on your digital government efforts and how they've grown and changed over the last few years.
Yeah, I think our efforts are not very, or rather our challenges are not very different from what just, you know, Holly painted so well. And within Georgia, what we have done in the last few years is try to kind of create that partnership with agencies to understand what are their goals and then start mapping some of the citizen goals and starting to compare those against, you know, where we can see some gaps and how we can bridge them. For the last couple of years, our team has been truly focused on making sure that we create this bridge between like organization goals, you know, citizen engagements, the overall experience mapping that Holly, you know, just kind of talked about, where how does a constituent really, you know, start interacting with a certain thing within government, within a certain service space, and then do that gap analysis and build that roadmap. And, you know, the web presence is so critical. Our web presence, you know, is quite dominant as far as like the first tier of information seeking for citizens. And, you know, that's something that is critical for us to make sure that it's, you know, updated and it is modern. Because one of the things that we also are seeing across, you know, the spectrum is just like the new channels that are emerging. And as our, you know, citizens, our constituents, you know, the new generation starts interacting, they're not interacting with, you know, the traditional walk in and talk to someone. They prefer text. They prefer, you know, to just use their phones, and they prefer chatbots, and they prefer to use digital assistants. So we have to consider that as well. But having, you know, kind of that being, you know, some of the reasons for us focusing on the newer channels, we have to make sure that we don't forget the people who do still walk in and who still use paper. And, you know, so figuring out that medium of making sure that if the content is all centralized and can be just essentially syndicated across to these multiple channels, we can still maintain that consistency and that experience that constituents face. So for the last few years, we have been really focused on kind of moving our web platform into more of a digital platform to make sure that, you know, we know at some point websites are not just going to be the only way of content consumption. So any of the other channels that open up, like, we want to be ready for that. So that's really kind of like what we have been focusing on.
So Nikhil, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that states face when making digital government a priority? And how are you in Georgia, and how are you advising your colleagues across the country to overcome some of those challenges?
I guess the biggest challenge that we see within the state at this point is essentially just, you know, trying to change the focus on the digital aspect of service delivery. The consumer-centered, the citizen-centric focus is still a challenge. You know, my team is, you know, a great advocate. And when we start talking to agencies, we feel like we are probably the only ones at the table that are representing our citizens. And it's not that agencies don't care about it, but it's just not something that they have been considering in the conversations. So it's a really refreshing, you know, kind of plug when we start talking about and they start seeing some of the data of like how citizens are at this point consuming things, and what are the terms that they're using, what are the keywords that they're using, if they call in, you know, what are they actually asking for? And when we start connecting all of these different disparate data points to kind of, you know, make and draw that big picture, we can see that shift happening, but it's still a challenge because a lot of the decisions are made very technology-centric. The citizen focus, the usability aspect of it is still something that we have to bake into our process, but that's exactly where we come in. So we have had some successful projects in the past where we inserted ourselves to test some user apps, some, you know, other solutions, and we were able to really kind of like find things that were conflicting based on what would otherwise define the success of that particular solution. And we were able to illustrate, you know, what those gaps were. But I feel like at this point, if we had not inserted and been that piece, that might not have happened. And then it would have taken a long time for someone to realize, like, why is that not being as successful? And then, you know, we were all lost, like, way more time in trying to kind of really help out the people seeking that solution. So I think the biggest problem at this point I see is, you know, people still have to adopt to that citizen-centric, user-first mindset. And as slowly we are seeing that happen, we are also seeing like a big change in the way solutions are delivered.
Interesting. And Holly, you alluded to challenges kind of at the beginning of our conversation here, but tell us a little bit more about some of the big challenges that you face when making digital government a priority and getting that priority out in front of leaders, and how are you overcoming those challenges in Massachusetts?
I think they break out into at least two major buckets. One is around digital communications and marketing, and then the other one is around technology. And those aren't necessarily the same things. I think Nikhil did a good job sort of laying out this, the concept of sort of those who live and breathe and grew up in technology and their expectations for how we as government should be serving them. And then folks who either because of situational reasons or because of their generation or whatever the reason may be, are not as technology-oriented or savvy. And the requirement to both serve both those populations appropriately, but then also to then continue to evolve over time towards those who are just live and breathe in this digital environment. And the reality is most of our government workforce does not necessarily resemble the up-and-coming constituents who depend more and more on our services who are, you know, growing up in this digital environment. So one of the major challenges I experienced in the first year and continue to work through with our business partners is we as government officials or people who are carrying out government services still have this opinion about how constituents engage with us during the day. But at night when we go home, we behave in a very different way. So, for example, we often encountered sort of the very large sort of ownership over a homepage or the beginning page of a website or a digital service, and this very sort of outdated concept of, oh, you click on this here and then you click on this here. It's a very, you know, linear sort of narrative about how we navigate through a website. That's an outdated concept in this world of everything is some sort of search engine and results. So when I talk to people during the day, they'd say, well, you know, how is someone going to find us on the homepage? We're 6 or 7 clicks down, and we'd have these conversations, and I'd say, okay, what if I asked you to find, you know, a shovel for tomorrow's snowstorm, or you needed to go get a school binder for your child? What would you do? What's the first thing they do? And they'd say, oh, well, I'd pull out my phone, and then I would search, and then they'd get straight to the information they needed. I'm like, you didn't go to the homepage, did you, of that organization? They're like, no. And so often it was helping people sort of link, helping our government thought leaders and service providers really think about how they behave at home, what their own personal expectations are of digital interactions, and then having them hold that up against how they're perceiving what their clients and constituents want at work. And that sort of just creating that space to think about and update our own perceptions of how we should be carrying out our job was really important. I think one of the other pieces is digital communications is not the same as the old brochure or putting out that PDF. There is an art and a science to communicating digitally, really understanding the benefit of communicating at a 6th grade reading level versus making things, you know, at a 9th grade or PhD level, which when we initially were rebuilding our website, most of our web pages were written for a advanced degree level, which is not necessarily very accessible to all members of our Commonwealth here. And so that's one piece, as well as most of our communications teams were still and are still really focused on traditional media. You know, whether you get placed in the newspaper or on TV is really important, and that's where they're focused. They sometimes still think of the digital interaction, the web interaction, as the secondary interaction or the third level interaction. And part of this also comes from the fact that because of our old digital platforms, whether it's your CRM system or the transactional application, tends to be housed in IT. We really worked hard to shift it out of IT and shift the responsibility in the business partners into the communications, messaging, and leadership sort of centers, or as close to the constituent delivery front lines as we could, because those are the folks that are in touch with messaging. They're the ones who are in touch with how to explain things in plain language, instead of someone who's never left their office and has never interacted with a constituent around a particular service. So there is this whole layer around digital communications that I think is really important for us to just, you know, not just be in the IT realm, but really shift into the communications and leadership realm. And the science part of the digital comes into the marketing and really being data-driven. And I think in government, at least, we're not very good at understanding how to use data to drive our operations and our business assumptions and then testing those, let alone doing that in a consistently flexible, you know, way. You know, we don't necessarily put out an A and B version of, you know, how to get unemployment and watch the data and then change it the next day. You know, it takes us months and years to change things, and we have to get quicker at that, and we need to use data and information to help lead the way and be a good monitoring of how well we're providing our services to our constituents and meeting their expectations. So that's sort of the art and science of the digital communication space. I think the other bucket, the technology bucket, is an interesting one for us because, you know, like I said, digital communications, it's not like we build a website and it's like, whew, that was done. Glad we don't have to do that for another 6 years. You know, it is an ongoing product, whether no matter if it's something off the shelf or you're building your own, it is an ongoing development project that we have to oversee for the foreseeable future. And we need to get good at changing and rapidly adapting and evolving with technology advancements. And I think that's hard in government. We're not used to sort of putting that consistent effort into technology. Sort of like, well, that's a big upgrade project. Now we're on to the next one. And so I think we have to get really good at thinking about how and when we need to use our capital, thinking how and when to use our best minds, and how do we, when do we get things just off the shelf that are just commodity, and really where do we put our value add as very talented IT and government professionals, and where do we focus on that change? In particular, I think the Wardley mapping exercise, if you've ever done it, is really effective to start to think about and create a framework for how you decide what's an off-the-shelf commodity investment and what's something that's worth some very important development time of your own team.
Holly, I'm going to go right back to you for our last question here, and then we'll get to Nikhil. How do you see this idea of digital government? All of those items, all of those things that you just addressed, all of the pieces of that puzzle, whether it be technology or whether it be the marketing and the communication side of it, how is this idea of digital government changing government going forward? And do you see it continuing to be a top priority for CIOs and other IT decision makers?
Yeah, I think it is changing as we move forward. One, I think as a field, we're pretty new in terms of digital services in government. I think each one of us or different agencies, Health and Human Services, or it's RMV and DMV, the agencies that provide driver's license and such, have different pieces of the puzzle and have had different experiences over time. But ultimately, I think as a single face of government, providing quick, easy services, that is something we are not very good at, and we need to work together to evolve over time. And so I think going forward, we need to figure out how to collaborate with each other and share best practices more frequently. And I think we need to figure out if we can share things like open source code or best practices. And I don't know if we do that very well yet across state lines, because we're usually also focused on achieving our individual goals. I think the rapid change and pace of development in technology and in the digital space will require that we get better at collaborating not only across state lines, but possibly with cities and towns as well. I think one of the other priorities moving forward for CIOs is the idea of how do we continue to evolve our organizations, that it's not just IT alone, but we're including journey mapping, looking at the constituent experience, as well as looking at business process redesign, because we no longer can afford to just make a technology decision alone. It needs to be wrapped in and in service of our constituents and the business partners themselves.
Nikhil, what about you? I mean, how will digital government efforts continue to change government, and do you expect it to remain a top priority for CIOs?
Right. I mean, I wish I could just literally say everything that Holly said, right, because that's so true. I think she hit the nail right there, where it's more around government trying to define itself. Like, what is it that we do? And when we talk about, you know, the old mindset government of everyone within organizations, they have such an illustrious view of what they do. Whereas when you talk to constituents, they really don't want government in there, you know, day to day. They just want to have like a quick interaction, get done with what they want to do, and move on. We are not Pinterest. We are not Netflix. And I think that is a mindset going forward, is something that digital will allow and should also change the overall thinking and the paradigm, where we really need to be helpful. We really need to be, you know, kind of serving, but at the same time, we have to be quick and we have to be limited for, you know, how much we ask for the time of people, because when they interact with us, they do it as a chore. And we have to acknowledge that. And, you know, it's really true where, like what Holly was saying, where we as individual states need to, you know, focus on the way we deliver things, either through any of the channels that, you know, have emerged across the horizon, but at the same time, like, maintain that consistency, maintain that value of an enterprise, because as a constituent, they don't care, like, which department you are or which, you know, division you are. They have a need, and they go seek answers, and the most you know, common route is they go to Google, and they look for what they're looking for. If they end up, you know, on a third or fourth or fifth level page within an agency website, that's where they are. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, we keep telling all the agencies that Google is your homepage. And this is how things are changing from a digital perspective. And I think from a changing the overall mindset of leaders is critical. And I think digital, because of the data that we can show, is very critical for people to just not make, you know, ad hoc decisions. It is really something that they should prove that the reason why they're choosing something is based on this data, is based on, you know, this information. Collaborating is key. So, yeah, you know, we are, as state of Georgia, like, really happy to be working with a few states, and, you know, the Commonwealth is one of them. And, you know, Holly's team has been amazing. And as we build this new digital platform within Georgia, we have been really kind of talking to other states who have done this, other states who have done something different, a lot of our citizens that are interacting. So I guess going forward, the digital aspect of government really kind of brings in that citizen piece that has been missing from the rest of the, you know, kind of state machinery in the past. So really going forward, we see this as a collaborative effort, and digital government really should be on, you know, I'll be surprised if it goes anywhere off the radar of the CIOs, because they really need to consider, you know, digital government as not only like being one of their priorities, but something that is always a consistent, you know, kind of thing to think about as they address their other priorities, because I don't think it competes with security or any other priority that they would have. It's something that, you know, is a constant that they have to work with going forward, because that's where, like, most of the overall state interactions are going. So hopefully going forward, as we go through some of these successful digital projects, that should really kind of pave the path for the, you know, future CIOs to make sure that digital is something that they lead with.
Well, Holly and Nikhil, thanks so much for offering those thoughts here today on priorities.
Thank you so much.
Great,
for having
you.
Me.
So there it is, digital government bringing you, the citizen, closer to the government that serves you. Thanks again to Nikhil Deshpande, Georgia's Chief Digital Officer, and Holly St. Clair, Massachusetts Chief Digital Officer, for being on the show today. And to our audience, make sure you watch this space. StateScoop has another full season of priorities for you in store for the rest of this year, covering everything from cybersecurity to cloud to shared services and more. What's more exciting is all of the top 10 priorities of state CIOs are so interwoven, and we'll get into all of that and more on the rest of this season of StateScoop's Priorities podcast. But for now, I'm Jake Williams, StateScoop's Associate Publisher and Director of Strategic Initiatives. Thanks for listening.